The Final Edition Radio Hour is a work of satire intended for people who own books, gentrify neighborhoods, and say they like kale. Please consume responsibly, the satire, that is.
I'm Jeff Chrysler, and I'm fake Tony Hendra, and this is the Final Edition Radio Hour. Tony, this is torture. What, my accent? Well, that's not what I mean, but yeah, listening to that horrid Australian or something accent is torture. You should try talking like this. I do. What? Why are you even fake Tony Hendra anyway? I'm a busy guy, Jeff. I've got a whole satire empire to run, you know. You can't even get close to British, can you? Not at all. Well, anyway, your satire empire, you mean this show? Well, this show, a website, videos, a vocal acting academy? Now, this is torture. So that is what you meant. No, it's not. I mean, this week, it's been torture. Because of the Senate report? Come on. We all knew about that stuff already. Yeah, we knew, but now we gotta relive it all again. And face the fact that we're not only complicit, but our system is set up to prevent us from ever making our leaders change or really holding those leaders accountable for anything whatsoever, from torture to Wall Street giveaways to the funding of the police state, and knowledge of that, of our own political impotence, despite swallowing the Viagra of protest and commentary and online clicks and futile attempts at political activity, knowledge of that is torturous. So's that analogy. Okay, sorry. Sometimes I think I'm more articulate than you are. Probably. Maybe I can express myself more clearly with some sketches about torture and politics and Christmas and elves and war and terrorism and holiday parties and fun stuff and sketches. Yeah. On the radio show? Our radio show? Part of your satire empire? All right. This is the Final Edition Radio Hour.
Good morning. I'm Charles Mudd. Welcome to The Slant. This week, the Senate released the summary of its report on the CIA's use of torture on suspected terrorists in the years after 9/11. With me in the studio to defend the CIA is a lawyer they've just hired, Mr. F. Lee Libby. Mr. Libby, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Charles.
Mr. Libby, you've gone on record as saying the interrogation techniques the CIA used were not torture. How can you say that waterboarding, stress positions, lack of sleep, and violent threats were not torture?
I didn't say that, Charles. I said one particular technique used by the CIA was not torture.
And which technique was that?
The rectal feedings.
Rectal feedings. That is when several of the detainees were given food enemas.
Yes, exactly.
You don't believe administering food enemas is a form of torture?
Strictly speaking, it's not torture. No.
A forced enema is not torture.
Charles, that's called a nutritional enema. Nutritional. Got the word nutrition right in it.
Mr. Libby, the Senate report says that these were referred to as rectal rehydration, which were enemas containing hummus, pasta, raisins, and nuts. These food items were introduced into the detainees' rectums.
That's not quite true, Charles.
Well, what do I have wrong, Mr. Libby?
First, the food was put in a blender and set on puree for at least a minute.
And you think that makes a difference?
Yes, especially with the nuts. If it were me, I vote for the blender.
You and I both know those nutritional enemas had little or no nutritional value for these detainees, correct?
Well, that's where you're wrong. See, after studying this for a while, I've begun taking all my meals rectally.
Are you kidding?
Nope. Why, just now, my hungry rectum received a whole grain bun, a sensible salad, and 7 ounces of skinless chicken breast. I'm on a diet.
Mr. Libby.
Matter of fact, rectal feeding is the best way to lose weight because the body doesn't absorb calories. But I still feel full.
I don't think the CIA cared about their welfare. All the evidence suggests these food enemas were used simply to humiliate the detainees.
Charles, that's unfair. You know, just the other day I was at a Dairy Queen, shoving a chocolate vanilla soft serve up the old Lincoln Tunnel, and I suddenly thought, hey, is this humiliating? Not on a hot day like today, I'll tell you that.
Mr. Libby, is your legal argument really going to be that it's okay to shove any foodstuff up your ass?
Yes. Anything. Except corn on the cob.
The Internet Amendments to the Constitution.
Amendment the First.
Congress shall make no law abridging the freedom to make up quotes by Sarah Palin or Barack Obama, nor the freedom to post and repost them as fact, nor the option later on to call it comedy, whether funny or not.
Hello, people. I'm Ann Coulter, and welcome to my new show, Ann Coulter's Not Right Enough. With a conservative Congress and soon-to-be right-wing president, we are delightfully close to making America what it should be. Immigrants gone, homosexuals banished, and liberals dead. Please welcome my guest and good friend, Rush Limbaugh.
Good to be here, Coulter.
Rush, as the conservative movement tramples through this country like a Panzer tank, what are your thoughts?
Ann, we need to go beyond these baby steps of repealing Obamacare and throwing out all the Mexicans.
Such as?
We need to get back to the America we thought we remembered.
Right, like making the New Testament the mandatory textbook for all science classes.
Of course, but the first step, cutting taxes.
Oh yes, all taxes.
We need to lower the minimum wage.
Or even better, repeal the 13th Amendment. Slavery would be better for everybody.
And take women out of the workplace and out of the voting booths.
Yes, we must... What?
Come on, Coulter, you know it must be done. We need women back in the kitchen and not making voting decisions so they can focus on family. I mean, you already make less than us anyway. You're better off being productive in the kitchen, supporting your husband instead of yourself.
But...
Now, Coulter, be a good girl and hand over the show.
This is my show. I'm the host.
Now, Coulter, you're being silly. Hand over the show for the movement.
Yes, sir.
Good girl. Now I'm going to have Glenn Beck come in and spank you for being difficult.
But he's my guest next week.
Come on in, Glenn.
I love America! America! I love America! Woohoo!
Hands and knees, Coulter.
Yes, sir.
I love America. America! I love America!
That's my show, America. Join me next week when we figure out who is more liberal, Rick Perry or Rand Paul.
Ow!
Oh, quiet, Coulter. Be lucky you're not Herman Cain.
The Internet Amendments to the Constitution.
Amendment the 4th. The government shall not seize personal information without due process. The government doesn't have to. You put it on Facebook already, idiot.
Jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way.
Jesus said, "The poor you have always with you." Does this mean he wants us to ignore the poor? No. The maker of all things intends for us to care for the taker of all things, Mr. or Ms. Poor Person. And this Christmas season, we intend to do just that.
Congressman Paul Ryan's House speech today underlines that even the Tea Party is looking for ways to appear compassionate towards widows, orphans, beggars, and other moochers. House Bill H.R. 115 would establish January 15th as Poor Christmas, a separate but equal holiday for the 47 million Americans living below the poverty line. House Speaker John Boehner.
Well, friends, is there anything more heartbreaking for Christmas shoppers than seeing little poor children outside the store pressing their little brown noses against the windows, gazing forlornly at gifts and goodies their parent can't possibly afford? Well, this year, let's give them a truly Christian Christmas present by making their Christmas 3 weeks later.
Hal Weevil is a spokesman for the Walton Family Poor Christmas Initiative, which funds a nationwide grassroots campaign to sell Poor Christmas to the poor and to retailers.
The post-Christmas period sucks for retailers. They're stuck with overstocked, damaged, returned Christmas items. They discount this stuff 60%, 70%, If it's perishable, like, egg dog, or fruitcake, or poinsettias, up to 90%. Now, with poor Christmas, the poor have a reason to buy them at affordable prices. Instead of eating the cost of unsellable seasonal items, retailers have a second Christmas buying season. Everybody's happy. The economy spikes. Paul Ryan is a genius.
The House also passed a Sense of Congress rider calling on local sanitation departments to repurpose discarded Christmas trees with enough remaining branches to support ornaments.
Look, I grew up poor. I know how hard it can be when you've had no Christmas, and you see those trees just lying discarded in the snow on the street. So spray them with pine green paint. Sell them right from sanitation trucks, at cost, or a little above. That's up to local government. Let's give the poor back their dignity.
The Walton family is working to spread the good word with the Reverend John Hagee of the First Church of Christ the Consumer in Houston. Reverend?
The key to establishing poor Christmas is selling it to the unpoor, our congregation. How do the unpoor benefit? Simple. They won't suffer the inconvenience of having caregivers, cleaning ladies, pool boys, cooks, and drivers taken off the very same holy days they do. Days when they need to be free to meditate on the true meaning of Christmas. When they need to celebrate by consuming mountains of food and costly presents as Christ intended. And now, Rosa, Jose, Venetia, and Anthony will be happy to work Christmas Day instead of getting fired because they have poor Christmas to look forward to. Plus, they wouldn't be working poor Christmas anyway because by January 15th, the unpoor will all be in Palm Beach or Gestad, or Vail, or Aruba. Everybody wins, and baby Jesus loves winners.
H.R. 115 passed by a vote of 430-5. The only holdouts were the Northern California Democratic Caucus, who claimed the term poor Christmas is demeaning to the disadvantaged. They suggest calling the new holiday Christmas the Sequel, or Christmas 2.0. Let's let Congressman Ryan, prime architect of the new holiday, have the last word.
Well, Sean, imagine poor Christmas Eve. The sparkling eyes of little poor children as they string their bright green needle-free poor Christmas trees with lightly dinged and dented ornaments, hang up their water-damaged stockings beside their narrow beds, and lay the one-legged bambino in the creche that's missing its St. Joseph, as so many poor families do. So the Savior is born a little later for the poor. He's still our same blessed Savior. Merry poor Christmas to one and all.
Dashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh. O'er the fields we go, laughing all the way. Bells on bobtail.
Here at the Final Edition Radio Hour, we want to show our loyal listeners just what happens if you don't support our show.
That was another long set of only the best hip-hop and R&B on Hot 97.
Hot 97!
It's your man Rosenberg here with DJ Funkmaster Flex.
Yo, yo, what's good?
Oh, snap! You know what that sound means. The next caller wins tickets to see Lil Wayne.
The Final Edition Radio Hour will be right back.
And now, some more of the Final Edition Radio Hour.
I bet you wish your daddy were home from Iraq for the holidays, don't you, Jesse? So close your eyes, make a wish. Christmas is a magical time where wishes come true. Make a wish. Did you wish?
I wished.
Ooh, okay now. why don't you open that really, really large box over by the tree?
That box that's so big a grown human could fit inside? Wow! What is it?
Honey, why don't you go ahead and open it?
Okay, then.
Surprise, son, it's me, your dad. Back from Iraq.
It's your dad! Back from Iraq! Just one thing. Don't make any sudden loud noises.
One time, my patrol car got blown up by an IED. In a cloud of toxic smoke and ash, all my unit perished. Alone, injured, carrying my amputated leg in my backpack, I crawled through the sand dunes for 9 days without food or water to get back to camp, surviving on camel piss, locusts, and the vision of your face lighting up on Christmas morning when I popped up out of the box.
Actually, I really wanted a Ninja Turtle.
The Internet Amendments to the Constitution.
Amendment the 6th. In criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of anonymous YouTube comments.
This is Western Ohio Public Radio welcoming you to the state finals for the intramural high school shooting spree.
And it's a beautiful day for it.
I'm Mark Reynolds.
I'm Lonnie Odets.
We've got kids coming in from all over Ohio, from teenagers with an obvious grudge to the real nice kids who've never been a problem.
Hey, you know, Mark, one thing you learn when you follow this competition, it's not always the quiet ones.
Nope. Some of them come right out and tell you.
Well, the school is armed, the kids are armed, it's a fair match. The ref is ready to blow the whistle, and the players are all lined up, and...
Boy, look at them rush out there.
You know, a lot of people say these shooting sprees are bad for kids, Mark, because they involve murder and usually end in suicide. But those critics ought to come down here and watch how these players really put their heart and soul into the game.
You know, at least 3 kids today have written their own manifesto. You show me another sport that gets a kid excited about writing.
By the way, notice the jerseys? The kids found a sponsor this year.
Yep, Ed's Pro Shop. Makers of bowling supplies, personalized trophies, and automatic weapons of all sorts.
Founded by Ed over 1 year ago.
There's Ed now.
Well, there goes another small business owner. Thanks, Obama.
So, who's ahead so far, the school or the shooters?
Well, the school doesn't know who the shooters are, so authorities are mainly shooting at each other.
And the kids are shooting everyone else.
Looks like Kevin Dreyer has broken through to a cafeteria, armed with an AK-47.
You know, that gun was donated by an alumnus of Kevin's school, by the way.
The alumni boosters really are the unsung heroes of this game.
Whoops.
Well, the last shooter has died.
Yep. But the teachers don't know it yet, and they're still shooting each other.
That counts on his score, even posthumously.
But as far as this competition goes, it's all over but the shooting.
Hey, we better sign off, because the kids sure have.
So, until next time.
Which will be soon.
This is Mark Jacobs.
And Lonnie Adet saying, stay young, die young.
So long, everybody.
It's the company holiday party tonight, and we all know it's a welcome chance for us elves to let off a little steam after a very busy fourth quarter here at the Grotto. But I don't need to tell you, holiday parties can be an HR minefield. Give an elf a couple of mini crab cakes and a couple of glasses of punch, and he or she might quickly find it difficult to suppress a lewd joke. Why did the snowman smile? Because a snowblower was coming down the block. Coming down the block. Coming! This is an example of a lewd joke, which is inappropriate in a work situation. So it's up to us, the Elf Senior Management Team, to be on the lookout for inappropriate workplace behavior. For instance, Scenario 1. It's the morning after the holiday party. You arrive at the office to find your employee, Tingles, waiting for you.
Good morning, Tingles,
you say.
Is it?
Says Tingles.
Is it really a good morning?
You're discombobulated.
Did you have a good time at the office holiday party last night?
You ask. Tingles immediately bursts into irrational tears.
No, I did not have a good time. In fact, I want to file a sexual harassment suit.
Tingles claims that her supervisor, Bob, hit on her multiple times at the party.
He was calling me babe and making inappropriate remarks such as...
Babe, you look gorgeous tonight. Your tunic is hot like mulled wine.
And...
You're a great dancer. You really make me want to jingle my bells.
And...
Oh, come on. One little hand job never hurt anybody.
Ho-ho-ho?
No, just a ho.
Admittedly,
that's not ideal.
So, what not to do? I'd suggest not pointing out to Tingles that she's being an irrational bitch. Tempting though it may be, it's best not to say...
You're overreacting, you career-wrecking psycho. Bob just had a bit too much holiday spirit, that's all. He got a little worse for the wear and got a little silly... I'll tell him not to get so liquored up in the future and to go home to his wife and kids. You're welcome.
No, no, no. In this age of political correctness and equal opportunities, the old niceties are over. Instead of giving Bob a boys will be boys warning for giving a girl a compliment at a party, you must immediately put him on the naughty list.
Not the naughty list! Oh, God! No! Anything but that! It's the naughty list for you, Bob. Burn in the eternal hellfire, Bob. Burn, burn, and never get a Christmas present ever again.
So that scenario should give you some thoughts to keep in mind as we head into the party season here in the grotto. Also, what do female reindeer do on a night on the town? Blow a few bucks. That, too, is an example of a lewd and inappropriate joke.
Here at the Final Edition Radio Hour, we want to show our loyal listeners just what happens if you don't support our show.
Hot 97. Who dis?
Maria.
Maria. Maria, Maria, you won.
Dios mio.
Dios mio, indeed. You got front row tickets. You got backstage passes. Maria, tell us the station that hooked you up.
96.9 and Fuego.
96.9 and Fuego? You got your dial mixed up, Maria. This is Hot 97.
Oh, sorry.
She thought we were a Latin station.
First time for everything. All right, next caller. Hot 97, who dis?
Eduardo.
Eduardo, tell me something. Are you free this Saturday night?
I think so.
I hope so, because you're going to the Barclays Center.
What? Shut up, yo.
Eddie, money. What station just totally made your day?
96.9 and Fuego.
No.
Sorry?
This is Hot 97, man. Hot 97.
But do I still win the Shakira tickets?
Shakira tickets?
All right. What the hell's going on? Is this a joke? Flex, hit that Hot 97 promo button.
Hey, folks. We're the CIA. The new Senate report on torture accuses us of some pretty nasty stuff. Don't you believe it?
We'd like to use this opportunity to give the American people the truth, because that's what we do at the CIA.
That and torture.
No, we don't torture. We lie.
That's not true. We don't do either. We sow confusion.
Yes, we do not.
With that in mind, we want to tell you what really happened. You see, we're the two guys who did some of the main torturing.
Which did not occur. That's why we have our voices disguised.
Our regular voices sound like this.
That's why they had us do the torturing.
Which we did not do. We've also been accused of systematically lying to the White House. They accused us of keeping President Bush uninformed.
Hello, that's the way he is.
Same thing with Vice President Cheney. They say we kept him in the dark.
He lives in the dark. One time I accidentally opened the curtain in his office a crack, and a beam of light seared the flesh on his face.
Worst of all, they say that our methods of torture were ineffective.
No, they were incredibly effective, especially since they never happened.
They say the information we got from torture was unreliable. Wrong. That's how we learned that you can get syphilis from a toilet seat.
And that Asian women have vaginas that are sideways. You could not get that information from standard interrogation techniques.
We also learned that the kid who played Eddie Munster died in Vietnam.
And then became Marilyn Manson. Oh, and the comedian Carrot Top has, quote, a cock the size of my forearm.
That is, a cock the size of the forearm of Sheikh Mohammed Khalid.
All of this information was extremely useful, except for the thing about Carrot Top's cock.
That was just interesting.
The report also claims that a person being tortured will just tell you anything you want to hear.
We can disprove that with this tape of an actual torture interrogation. We must warn you, this tape is quite graphic, documents something that never happened, and does not itself exist.
But the sound quality is quite good. Listen.
Please, stop! I can't take it anymore!
Just give me the truth, scumbag!
You look great in that outfit!
How can I be sure you're not telling me what I want to hear?
Look in the mirror, handsome. Really, those pants are quite slimming.
I need more.
Let me ask you this. Where are you from, originally?
Me? I grew up in Pittsburgh.
Dude, Steelers are looking great this year.
You're lying. The offensive line is a disaster. Take this.
They just need to protect Roethlisberger. Between the running game and the defense, they could go all the way.
Does that sound like a man just telling me what I want to hear?
That was during the 2005 season. In fact, the Steelers went to the Super Bowl and beat the Seahawks.
But we wouldn't have known that without torture.
Which did not occur. But with that torture, the detainees started singing like birds.
Like the birds. When they found out Turn, Turn, Turn was my favorite song, torture made a detainee learn to play a Rickenbacker guitar just like Roger McGuinn.
So don't tell us that torture doesn't work.
Or exists. Remember that the next time somebody complains about torture and lying. Thank you for listening. We're the CIA.
No, we're not.
To everything, turn, turn,
with luck, we'll be back with more of the Final Edition Radio Hour.
Hi, welcome back to the Final Edition Radio Hour. I'm Tony Hendra. The Final Edition Radio Hour models itself in format and spirit after the National Lampoon Radio Hour, which was in its heyday exactly 40 years ago when I was editing the magazine. I thought it might be fun to revisit some of the material from the mid-70s and see how it holds up. So hang on to your hats for what we used to call at the Lampoon, a trip down Mammary Lane, featuring Chevy Chase, John Belushi, Christopher Guest and Richard Belzer before they were famous, and as a bonus, Michael O'Donoghue at his most insane.
I met you at the sideshow at the fair. The sign said, "Turtle woman, please beware." But I went in and I just had to stare. Turtle woman, I love you, I don't care. The people were throwing pennies at your shell, but they couldn't hurt your feelings, I could tell. I asked you out to dine and you said, "Swell." Turtle woman, I saw you and I fell. Started dancing, cheek to cheek, next to your friends, the bearded lady and the geek. When you take me in your flippers, I grow weak. Turtle woman, when I'm near you, I can't speak. A day in June was to be our wedding day. You couldn't wear a gown, but what the hey? I don't care what those gossips say.
turtle woman, you stole my heart away. Things were about as good as they could get, but nothing lasts forever, that's what you said. When I saw you with another, I turned red. How could you fall in love with a pinhead?
The Immigrants. Who are they? Where did they come from? Why did they come? From every direction and continent they came, answering Miss Liberty's call. Send me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. She lifts her lamp beside the golden door, and from the teeming shores, the wretched refuse came like hungry mosquitoes to the yellow porch light of freedom. This week on The Immigrants, The Hillbillies. And now your host, Gregory Puck.
From every hillside in Europe, discontented hillbillies voice their dissatisfaction with living overseas. From Switzerland.
I don't like it here in Switzerland.
The pants are too short.
Yeah, and those frog skiers coming over the hills causing trouble.
The cheese got holes in it.
And hell, I'm a Baptist. I don't want to guard no Pope.
Hey, in America, they got cheese in aerosol cans.
From France.
I don't like it here in France. Everyone's so snotty.
Yeah, I can't read the menus.
And everything here is so expensive.
In America, you don't have to dress up, and you can get Levi's real cheap.
From Italy.
I don't like it here in Italy.
I'm tired of sharecropping grapes.
Yeah, and losing our land to those big olive oil barons.
Yeah, I got six little bambinas and a fat mama mia, and I can't hardly make it on the lira I earn here.
Yeah, and here you can't get no D-I-V-O-R-C-E.
And so the Great Migration began. Throughout Europe, the roads were choked with hillbillies from every country.
Howdy. Going west?
Yep.
Where you from?
I'm from the Urals, out Russia way.
The Urals? I got some kin up there. Do you know the Fedayevich family?
Yeah, Natasha Jean's a good friend of mine.
She is? Well, she's my cousin. Well, where you headed out west?
America. I hear the streets are paved with coal.
Yep, it's true. And they got showers and real good telephone service, too.
From such diverse seaports as Southampton, Rotterdam, and Marseille, they embarked on the arduous sea journey that would cost some of them their lives, and many their lunch.
Hey, strap that mattress to the side of the ship.
All right, Paul.
Grandma, you ride up on top.
On the top?
Mm-hmm.
In dark, dank, smelly steerage compartments, they huddled through the voyage, confiding in each other their pitiful hopes and dreams for the new land.
Boy, I'm going to love it in America. I hear they got eggplants the size of your head. I'm going to pick me up a whole armload of eggplants and squash them all over my face. I'm going to hit myself in the head with big aubergines. Oh, yeah, I'm going to roll around in them.
Eggplants the size of your head?
Yep, and they got goiters as big as eggplants.
Why, they got heads big as your goiter.
And eggs the size of headplants.
I'm going to get me a 56 Ford and put it up on blocks right on my front lawn.
I'm going to get me a pickup truck and drive up and down the main street as long as I like.
Yeah, and they got fine schools there, too. You can go right on up through the first grade.
Not me. I'm just going to hang around bus stations, spitting and picking my nose.
Oh, and there's lots of old refrigerators for the kids to play in.
Say, friend, you want to move that fuzzy duffel bag so I can sit down?
That's no duffel bag. That's my daughter, Fuzzy Mae. But you can sit on her just the same.
Hey! Knock off that whispering down there and keep rowing, or I'll crack this whip till your necks turn red.
Redneck? What kind of cracker's that?
Mm-hmm. The hazardous journey was made even worse by the choking dust storms that plagued them every nautical mile of the way. After 2 long days at sea, a sharp-eyed hillbilly lookout with bad teeth sighted land. But didn't think it was important enough to mention.
Hey, we're sinking.
What?
Women and children first.
We're sinking.
Unstrap that mattress.
What?
Hand me that fuzzy duffel bag.
Oh, we're sinking.
And so as their ship slowly sank in New York Harbor, the happy hordes of homely, humble hillbillies hot-footed hillward. But first, a short stop at Ellis Island, where helpful immigration officials welcomed the new arrivals.
Hey, you, Slimeface, you're next.
Oh, me?
Yeah, race?
Hillbilly.
Country of origin?
Italy.
Name?
Name's Michelangelo Buonarroti.
Well, what kind of moniker is that for an American? From now on, you're MC Boone.
Hey, you just stamped my hand.
That's so if you go out, you can come back in again.
Oh, I see.
Next, name?
Claude Debussy.
Hey, Boone, wait.
Huh?
You got your duffel bag.
Oh, come on, fuzzy mate.
Debussy, you're Clyde Devons.
Having completed processing, the friendships made on shipboard ended as they headed for their different destinations.
Say, taxi!
Where are you headed?
Paris Island.
I'm headed for Fort Leonard Wood.
Fort Knox for me.
I'm going to Lackland Air Force Base. Say, you mind if I strap my mattress to the side of the taxi? Grandma, you ride up on top.
On top. You coming, Lem?
Nope, not me. I'm just going to hang around this here bus station, spitting and picking my nose.
Well, if you're going to sit on that fuzzy duffel bag, don't be flicking boogers on it.
And so they traveled, first into the heartland, and then into the heart of America, where their contributions are woven into the fabric of American culture. Hush puppies, rickets, rotten teeth, mental retardation, coitus, incest, genetic inferiority, black lung disease, fender skirts, cancer of the lip. The list goes on and on. And of course, who can forget those noteworthy Americans who proudly call themselves Hicks, Crackers, Rednecks, Hillbillies, Minnie Pearl, Gomer Pyle, Andy Griffith, Robert and Jim Mitchum, Patsy Cline, Buddy Ebsen, Buddy Hackett, the Hills Brothers, the Bond Brothers, Julian and Gary U.S., Arthur Hillbilly Gene King, Mel Torme, the players and coaches of the Miami Dolphins, Billy Graham, Tex Ritter, and that's when I woke up.
Give me your heart, your love of passage yearning to be free. The wretched wreckers of your teeming shore.
Next week on The Immigrants, the albinos, the pale pink-eyed people.
I wish I was a Negro with lots of Negro soul, so I could stay true to my ethnic roots and still play rock and roll. If I was a funky Negro eating soul food barbecues, I wouldn't have to sing the middle-class liberal well-intentioned blues. Intention blues. Intention blues. I wish I was an Indian, a grown-up soup papoose, so when I get drunk on a beer and a half, I'd have a good excuse. I'd be a noble savage, wouldn't ever wear no shoes. And I wouldn't have to sing the middle-class liberal well-intentioned blues. Intention blues. Intention blues. I wish I was a wetback on a strike in a lettuce patch, or a slant-eyed peasant with Viet Cong stashed underneath my thatch. I only ever cross a picket line to pay my union dues, to keep on singing the middle-class liberal well-intentioned blues. Intention blues, intention blues. But I am not a Negro, come on, not a red man nor a Mex. Join me, kids, I'm a member of the oppressing color, language, age, and sex. I sympathize with the Arab cause. I feel for the put upon Jews. And I keep singing the middle-class liberal humanitarian meaningful dialogue. We are all responsible, well-intentioned blues, intention blues, intention blues.
This is Tony Hendra. We'll be back after this.
Look out! There's more Final Edition Radio Hour!
Tony, we gotta come up with a promo. Our listeners don't know enough about all the great stuff the Final Edition does. Even when we tell them, it's all this, like, blah, 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 dot, 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 www, URL crap. No one gets what that is on radio. They just tune it out.
Well, I have the perfect way to hold their attention while we give them the goods. When I was at the National Lampoon in the 70s, our most famous cover had a cute mutt with a 38 Magnum to its head and the legend, "Buy this magazine or we'll shoot this dog."
Yeah, I remember that, but how does that help us? It was a visual image for a magazine.
Meet Freckles.
Oh, Freckles? Oh, there, there. Good boy. Yay! What's the matter then?
Also, meet my 38 Magnum.
Jesus Christ, you have a gun? Don't wave that thing around here. Is that thing loaded?
Sure is. Hey, listeners to the Final Edition Radio Hour on Progressive Voices on TuneIn. If you don't stay tuned to this promo while Jeff gives you all the necessary info about our fabulous website and our fabulous YouTube channel and other fabulous stuff we do, I will shoot this dog.
Jesus, man, take the gun out of that defenseless animal's ear.
Uh-uh. Give him a good, Jeff.
Oh, my God. Poor Freckles. Okay, fine. Hey, listeners to the Final Edition Radio Hour, you want more of what we do, go to thefinaledition.com. Our radio airs on this network on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday at 8, as well as Wednesday at midnight. We've also got an album, we've got a Twitter feed, we've got a great YouTube channel, Facebook, everything you can want at thefinaledition.com.
Now, tell them to tap all that into their iPhones or leave themselves an audio memo.
No, I won't. I told them enough, Tony. I'm calling the SPCA.
Tell them, or the dog gets it. I'm cocking the gun right now.
Okay, listeners, please, write this down. Thefinaledition.com. Thefinaledition.com. Go there for everything you want from the Final Edition, or this crazy old British coot is going to plug old Freckles.
Okay, that wasn't so hard, was it? Come here, Freckles, you dumb old chum. Hey, get down! Get down! Get away from me! Get, you crazy bug!
Good job, Freckles! Get him! Sick him! Oh, yeah, this is Jeff Kreiser for the Final Edition Radio Hour on Progressive Voices on TuneIn. 8 p.m. Saturday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Midnight on Wednesday.
No, Freckles, put that thing down! You don't have opposable thumbs! No!
Are you there, Allah? It's me, Mustafa. Deep down, I know I'm a good person. I pray, I don't eat pork, and I slaughter hundreds of non-Muslims just the way you tell me to. But sometimes I do some bad things, Allah. My friend Asaf tells me that there's nothing wrong with what we do. That inserting our body parts into each other is what gives us power and the strength to kill small children. Still, I worry that our consenting, passionate fornication is wrong. Perhaps I was being a bit paranoid, but when I came home late last night, I saw this long white figure with big black eyes, and I was sure that it was my mother's ghost coming back to haunt me. so I did what any self-respecting terrorist would do.
Dad?
49th daughter? I thought you were a ghost.
Nope, not yet. Good night.
Wait, where were you tonight?
Here.
Then why were you sneaking in like my mother's evil spirit?
Grandma's not dead.
She is to me. And don't change the subject. Why do your eyes look strained and tired? Have you been reading?
No!
Then what's in the bag?
Nothing.
A book with English lettering?
I was holding it for a friend.
This is unacceptable, especially since you were supposed to be stoned this weekend.
It's not like you were home.
Hey, hey, don't play the neglected child card with me. I support over 50 wives just to look after random kids like you.
I'm sorry. It's just, growing up is hard. I'm almost 15 now, and with my genital mutilation right around the corner, I feel like there's all this pressure about to come down on me.
Okay, I know. But just think, one day when you're older, I will find a nice man and sell you to him for a substantial dowry.
Really?
You bet. Hey, how about we make a deal, you and me?
What kind of deal?
You don't tell anyone you saw me sneak in, and I won't tell your mother where you were.
Deal.
Wait, which one's your mother again?
Here at the Final Edition Radio Hour, we want to show our loyal listeners just what happens if you don't support our show.
Not a 6.9 in Fuego!
Oh, hell no!
Hit it again.
96.9 in Fuego!
Cut the commercial!
Me and Kanta McDonald's.
What the hell's going on, Flex?
No say?
No say? Why did you just say no say?
No. Puedo. Hablar inglés.
Why are you hablando español?
No. No puedo hablar inglés tampoco.
Porque somos hablando español.
¡Qué paso! Bien viendo a 96.9 en Fuego.
Reproducción de música latina muy, muy caliente.
Yeehaw! Isn't war a hoot, boys?
Are you crazy? Standing up with no cover? You're gonna be killed.
It's okay. I got lots of extra lives.
What?
I said I got enough extra lives to get to the boss of this level.
What are you talking about? You think this is a video game? You only get one life.
Maybe if you don't save your game.
No! Look, Jones isn't moving. He's not gonna come back.
Huh. Should we try the cheat code or...
There's no cheat code! How can you not get this? Aren't you a trained soldier?
Oh, sure. I've played like hours of Call of Duty.
No! I mean basic training. Didn't this come up in boot camp?
Whoa, wait. Is this what Sarge meant by making the ultimate sacrifice? I just thought he meant because there's no Wi-Fi here.
Come on. What about that speech I made right before this battle where I literally said,
"You could die out there!"
I thought you meant, like, you could just die out there. You know, like, for fun, right?
Look, man, war isn't like PlayStation. There's no extra lives or points.
Then why have I been gathering all these gold coins?
I'm pretty sure you're just looting.
Ah! Why?
See? Now Harris is gone, too.
So if I get hit once, I'm done?
Yes!
Like in dodgeball. And then if you catch one of their balls, I get to come back in.
What? Come on!
And then when it gets dark, my mom will come and pick me up.
No! War isn't like any game.
So what? Like a movie, then?
Sure, whatever. This is like a war movie, and people get killed in those all the time.
Oh, then it's no problem. Guys like me don't die in war movies. Think about it. I'm not a promising quarterback. My sweetheart at home isn't pregnant.
Neither was Harris's, but look what happened to him.
Well, of course Harris died. He was a streetwise black guy.
Shut up, you idiot! This is real life. People die. Haven't you ever lost anyone close to you?
I guess my dad died in war.
What? So, how do you not get that it can happen to you?
Well, he had a heart attack while playing the card game War. You know, from fun.
Okay, fine. War is like the card game War. If you're killed here, you don't come back.
So you're saying I could die in war?
Yes, yes! In war, anyone can die anytime.
So our enemies can die too?
Yes.
Then why would anybody do this?
I don't know. Because that's what war is.
But that's dangerous. I mean, we gotta warn them about this death thing. Hey, hey, guys, stop! Did you know we could die out here? This isn't a game or movie or anything.
Come back here, you idiot! You'll be killed!
Wait, are you serious? We can die out here?
Yeah, it doesn't even matter how many points you have.
Is this why nobody freezes when I tag them?
Yeah, and I keep eating these mushrooms to grow bigger. But all they do is make me hallucinate.
I know, right?
Well, this is crazy. I don't want to die out here. Let's go back to my basement and have a Mario Kart tournament. I'll call my mom to pick us up.
I call player one.
Winner gets to impose Sharia law.
Sleep in heavenly peace.
The Final Edition Radio Hour is performed at one time or another by Bruce Cherry, Jen Dodd, Jim Earle, Rob Gordon, Tony Hendra, Jeff Hendrick, Dan Vitale, Kevin Janis, Jeff Chrysler, Barry Link, John Marshall, Ebby Parker, Rachel Rauch, Steve Rosenfield, Rob Miller, David Eskridge, Andrew Danish, Leslie Shapira, Anne Tuchel, and Darby Worley. The show is written at one time or another by Bruce Cherry, Jen Dodd, Jim Earle, Rob Gordon, Tony Hendra, Jeff Hendrick, Jeff Chrysler, David Eskridge, Barry Link, John Marshall, Ebby Parker, Leslie Shapira, Jeremy Rayburn, Kate Knowles, and Steve Rosenfield. The Final Edition is produced and directed by Tony Hendra and Jeff Chrysler. West Coast production by Barry Lank. Audio editing and production by Greg Russ and Andrew Hammond. The Final Edition Radio Hour is the property of the Final Edition, LLC. Copyright 2014.